All right, and so you don't get the junk. All right, so anyway, let's dive in and let's look at this. I've talked about it a few times. I kind of got into it a little bit yesterday at the jail, and I want to look at Simeon. I just really have been hung up on Simeon and some truths that stand out in the story that is told. Now, Jesus has already been born. We kind of talked about this for the 3 minutes that I was given on Sunday. Didn't the kids do incredible sharing the Jesus story? And I told our youth group, they straight up dropped some bombs in there, and I hope y'all heard them. You know, like, hey, didn't you learn from the last two houses that everything can look great on the outside, but in the inside can still be messed up? Or if you believe in everything, do you really believe in anything? I mean, those were some very thought-provoking questions, and I'm just going to keep bragging on them. They did a great job. But in there, we talked about that, you know, and on the eighth day, Jesus had to be taken to the temple. It had to happen. It was part of the Jewish law. You find that law in Leviticus chapter 12. You can go look into it, and there's some great symbolisms in that law that was written and what God was doing in those. It doesn't make sense in our day and time because that's not our culture. It's not a requirement, but it had a purpose. And if you're interested in those kind of studies, that's a good one for you. But here we find that once they get there, Simeon's there. So let's just read. It's in Luke chapter number 2. We're going to pick up right around verse number 25. And it says, at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. All right, we'll come back to this verse. It says he was a righteous man. He was a devout man. And he was what? Eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, verse 26, and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nation, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Verse number 34, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall. Now, can I just pause here? This isn't going to be our sermon, but I have heard people misuse this verse so many times. Says this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. You know what he's simply saying? We're going to find out who truly believes in God and who doesn't. He's going to separate. We're going to see those that are religious and those that are relational. We're going to see those that just say they love God, and we're going to find out who truly does. All right, does that make sense? All right, so let's keep going on. It says, but he has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. And as a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And it says, and a sword will pierce your very soul. So here's what all those verses are saying. Go back in the verse number 34. It says that, you know, these people are going to fall. In other words, they're going to reject him. All right. That's what's going to happen. There are going to be those that say they believe the Messiah is coming. But once he's here, they're going to say, I don't want anything to do with him. They're going to fall. But then those that accept him, what's going to happen? They're going to rise. You know what the crazy thing is that's still true today. I mean, those that accept Jesus Christ in his authority, what happens to their life? What happens to their spirituality? What happens to their joy? It rises. But those that reject the Lord, what happens to them? I mean, in all honesty, they're on a downward slope and it never gets up. Can I say this to you? I do believe that we have, and I didn't plan on going here, so just buckle in. We have misrepresented salvation. We really have a problem to where people in our society believe they're saved, having acknowledged the need of a Savior. But that is not anywhere in what Jesus Christ did for us and what Paul has told us salvation requires us to do. Nowhere does it say that we accept Him as Savior. What it does say is we make Him Lord. There's a difference, all right? And can I say this to you? That is why I believe that when we tell somebody, repeat after me, Jesus, I need you as my Savior, and they repeat those words, we're actually endangering their salvation, because it is not about you repeating what I say. It is about you doing what God has said. And God has said that you openly declare Him in Romans 10, 9 and 10. You declare that Jesus is Lord. There is a whole different verbiage when it comes to Lord and when it comes to Savior. There's a lot of people that realize that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and they are on their way to hell. But there are those who have noticed that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and as a result, they have made Him the Lord of their life, and they have been accepted as children of God. Do you understand? There's a difference in saying, get me into heaven, and there's a difference in saying, I want heaven on earth. Lord says, I want what you are doing there to do be done in my mind and my heart here. And so I am proclaiming that Jesus, and let's put it in a better term, is the manager, the king, the ruler of my life. He gets my mind, He gets my actions, He gets my dedication. You do not need Jesus just simply as Savior. No, acknowledge the Savior, but proclaim as Lord. For those that openly declare He is Lord and believed in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, they will be saved. Let's get it right. Let's represent salvation as it is. It's more than just going and saying, yes, I need a rescuer. It's saying, no, I surrender the control of my life to you. You earned it. You are worthy of it. And you are now Lord of my life. And when we make Jesus Lord of our life, we rise. Those that lift Him up, what's He say? I'll lift them up. Hey, you exalt the Lord, He exalts you. But you keep Him as just the guy that you're going to go to when you're in trouble. Well, you're in trouble. Does that make sense? Now, does God's grace still shine on those that do not have Him as their Lord of their life? Absolutely. Does God's mercy still extend? Yes. But salvation is extended to those who have placed Jesus in the lordship of their life. Does that make sense? Have you ever heard it that way? Because I spent a lot of my years in church, and I realized that we present it as you need Jesus to be your Savior. But you don't see that terminology ever when it comes to accepting Him as Lord. And so at some point we need to realize He's two in one, Savior and Lord. But you want your life to work, He's got to be Lord. And many are going to rise and many are going to fall because of that. I mean, let's be real. How many of you today have made Jesus the Lord of your life? Would you slip your hand up? But how many of you sometimes don't like His Lordship? You know, it's just like, I'd rather do it my way. You know, I'd rather it work out the way that I want it to work out, and yet God works it out in a way that's a God-sized way. That, in all honesty, I'm very simple, and so are you. We are very simple-minded without Christ, but with Christ, we get wisdom, which makes us like God, and godly and holy. And so at some point of our lives, we got to realize that it rarely goes the way we think it should, and yet, we got to be okay with that. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not always okay with that because I like to know. Anybody else in here like to know? But then also, have you always, all of you like me that like to know, have you gotten to those situations where you wish you didn't know? You know what I mean? It's like, I really want to know. And then you know, and it's like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know anymore. I mean, isn't it so crazy how almost spiritually bipolar we are? You know, and so in this, it's saying, okay, I'm going to accept your methods, your ways. I'm going to accept your truths. Matter of fact, will you please remember this about God's word? God did not give us suggestions. He gave us truth. There's a difference. His word is truth. It's not a suggestion. You know, and a lot of times we think, well, God said to do it this way, and I'll think about that. No, it's not a suggestion. It's truth. It's the way that works. And if we work it His way, then life works out. But if we work against it, then life falls apart. All right? And so, by the way, let's go ahead and put the third category in there. If we work the middle, then we are teeter-tottering and double-minded and nothing is stable in our lives. All right? So we've got to figure it out. God's way, no way, in the middle, doesn't work. All right? Does that make sense? All right, so now let's get into today's sermon, backing up. Isn't it cool how many truths are in this story that a lot of times if we're not careful, we just miss? We just go through. All right, so go back, if you would. It says this, and we're going to look at Simeon. In the very first verse we read in verse number 25, which, by the way, is everybody okay with me sitting down tonight? I don't know why, but I would just like to sit down tonight. Is that okay? All right, so here we go. It says this. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was, here it is, number one, what was he? What does righteous mean, church? He lived right. He did what was right. That's what righteous is. Righteous does not mean perfect. Aren't you thankful for that? You don't have to be perfect to be righteous. You've just got to be pursuing right ways of living according to God's standard. So tonight, you can be an imperfect person living a righteous life because you're pursuing God's way of living. What a blessing! I mean, thank God we don't have to be perfect, but through righteousness, we can achieve and experience His perfection in our lives. So Simeon was righteous. Can I tell you this? There are key ingredients that we find from Simeon that if you want to see God in His fullness, you better have in your life. Number one is righteousness. All right. Number two, it says not only was he righteous, he was devout. Now, what is devout? What does that mean? It's a root of devoted. All right. What does it mean to be devoted to somebody? Yeah, I mean, you're sold out. It's all in. I mean, there's nothing held back. And it says not only did he live right, but he was devoted to this. He wasn't a fan of Jesus. He was a follower of Jesus. He wasn't a Christian. He was a Christ follower. He was a believer. He was one that took God's word and believed it no matter what. And literally, it led to this. When you live right and you devote yourself to Christ, you get eager, number three, about what's going to happen. You say, well, I don't like my life right now. Get righteous and get devoted to the things of God. And you will have an eager anticipation about what God's going to do in your life. I mean, are you excited to think about what God has in store for you? I mean, and if you're here tonight and you believe that God has nothing for you, then you have been deceived by the lie of the enemy and you have let that lie become your truth. And it is not the truth at all. It is a trap. And that is all you're caught in, is a trap of his unworthy guilt, shame tactic. And all he wants to do is to keep you bottled up. But I'm going to tell you this tonight. If that mindset is a war you are in, great news. The enemy only attacks what he has not yet defeated. You don't attack a defeated foe, and the only reason you battle shame, and the only reason you battle fear, and the only reason you battle guilt is because the enemy is afraid of what God's power is going to do through you when you and I are realizing how God wants to use us. And because he recognizes God's power in a movement of your life, he is attacking, trying to hinder what God wants to do. If you were defeated, you would not be under attack. And so a lot of times we say, well, I can never be anything. The fact that that mindset is there means God has something big for you to be. And so in there, we've got to realize that God is moving and calling us. And you may be at the lowest of your low, but God has such a journey to take you on. Matter of fact, the lower you are, the more rebound space there is. The lower you are, the more of God's miraculous you see. And the more of God's divineness you will experience. I've been in this journey for over a decade now. Haven't even scratched the surface. But when I look back at what all God has done in my life, I wonder if I would have ever experienced it to that magnitude had I not experienced first the defeat the enemy tried to bring into my life. But now looking back, I know he's a good God, because you cannot look at my life and see what God has done and not acknowledge that he has to be good because I was not good. And he has to be amazing because, man, my own parents didn't love me, but God did. I mean, think about that. That's an amazing fact. I mean, even the people that were supposed to care didn't care, but God did. He saw value. And what's a blessing today is it doesn't matter what is and what should have been. What matters is that God is present in this life. And God does have a plan for this life. And if yesterday was good, just imagine how much better today's going to be. And if God has done that in my past, full of its wickedness, then what does God have in store in the path of my devotion, in the path of my commitment? And so, listen to me, church. People are always going to remind you of where you came from. You ever watch the Beverly Hillbillies? Anybody remember that? Totally rejected. Why? Why were they hated in the community they lived in? Come on now. I was going to say, we sent all the kids out there. They have no clue what I'm talking about right now, but you do. All right? They were what? They were poor, used to be, but now they were what? Rich. Huh? All right. They didn't change. They stayed the same. You know, and we're not saying, now understand this. They didn't change their personalities. They didn't change the things that they enjoyed. but they did change where they lived, and they did change the things that they did they not? I mean, they didn't live out there in the boondocks where you shoot the ground and oil spews out. No, they now live in an area where the big banker lives next door and causes all kind of chaos. Y'all know the story, right? If not, that's when TV was good. All right, yeah, go check it out. All right, but understand that that's the same. It's a beautiful mindset. All of us come from rags of filth. Our righteousness is filthy rags. But then God comes in, and He doesn't want to change our personalities. He doesn't want to change our abilities, but He will relocate our spiritualness. He will relocate the way that we're able to live. And you and I can live a life that we never earned and do not deserve. Why? Because we struck oil when we found Jesus. And in there, we got to understand that no matter how high, no matter how low, God has big plans for our lives. And it makes us excited. You know, I was thinking just the other day, in less than 3 months, I get to go back to the Philippines. And I know if you've never been, it's hard for you to be excited about that. All right. But just be excited for us. All right. Because I cannot wait to get back. Which, by the way, if you want to go, this is the first year we've opened that to everybody. There is a cost. See Bobby, there's a little plug. You got to let him know by January, so get on it. All right? So, but understand that, like, I cannot wait to see what God's going to do there. This year, it's totally different. You normally, and I was talking to Bobby about this, I guess a couple days ago. Normally, we go over there, and it's almost like we go on this tour from school to school, you know? And we teach, and we share Jesus. But this year, there's a guy that we, I guess, met up with 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Time runs together. When you get older, you know how it goes. It goes fast. I don't know why I looked at you. Sorry, bro. All right. But it is. That's one of the moments you don't want to make eye contact and you did. All right. I'm going to look at Carly. All right. But anyway, so this guy, he's feeling led. He's feeling called to come back into Infanta and work at JPA Mission Church. His name's Oogie. And he's seeking God. And I'm telling you, this guy is sold out for the Lord. Would you agree, Bobby? I mean, he's the real deal. And he's seeking God, and God's told me, okay, he's the speaker everywhere you go. He's the one at the youth conference. Y'all are going to train and facilitate, but it's not for you to be on, it's not the American tour in the Philippines. It's going to be, hey, this is the guy you can lean on when we're gone. This is the one that you can, and then we're going to train and pour in. And so I'm excited. It's a new adventure. It's a new way of going. And so as I look at that, I have an eager anticipation for what God is going to do there. But have you ever noticed that sometimes you can get so caught up in what's going to happen that you forget that God wants to do something in the meantime right here, right now? And so I can get all caught up and say, when is March coming? Like your kids are right now, about the 7 days in advance. I mean, when is Christmas going to be here? You know, isn't it amazing? Adults freak out about it. Kids are excited about it. Oh my goodness, there's 7 days left. What am I going to do? Kids are like, 7 days left. What are we going to do? You know, it's like a totally different mindset. And they have an eager anticipation, which sometimes we have a dread. But what would happen if today I had dedicated myself to, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to do what's right. No matter what, I'm going to let my mind be focused on what's right. I'm going to let my actions, my words, my attitudes follow. I'm going to praise instead of complain. I'm going to be thankful instead of needy. You know, I'm going to give God His glory instead of giving God my attitude. You know, are you with me? And then all of a sudden we start shifting, and it's like, you know, what happens when I'm righteous is it's easier to be devoted. It's easier to pour in. And the more you pour in, the more you want to, and you get excited. You know why there's not excitement in the church? There's not righteous living, and there's not a devotion to the Lord. We are devoted on an hour and a half time frame, and then the rest of the week we're devoted to ourselves. And coming from an addictive lifestyle, I know at the core of addiction, we talked to the guys about this the other day, the core of your addiction is not your drugs, it's not your alcohol, it's not your pornography, it's not sex, it's not all those things. The core is the character traits that lead you there. I was a manipulator, I was a liar, I was a user, and I was selfish. If I want to beat my addiction, I've got to beat those four things. You know, and what I have found is instead of manipulating, I bless. And instead of lying, we tell the truth. And instead of using, we usher. And instead of being selfish, I serve. And I see two different identities take shape. And that's what Paul meant by I, manipulator, liar, selfish, am crucified with Christ. But now I live. Why? Because my identity has shifted. And you know what? We need believers that aren't living in a nature of sinfulness or self or a nature of flesh, but instead the nature of God. And when we do that, guess what? The Holy Spirit starts leading our lives. Look at number 4. It would be in that verse, very last sentence. The Holy Spirit was what? On him. I mean, isn't that an awesome thought? Now you say, oh, come on, the Holy Spirit's in me. Wait a minute. We're not talking after Jesus was crucified and rose again. We're talking Jesus being born. There hadn't been an upper room. There hasn't been this mighty rush of wind. No, what we're talking about here is something that is pre the Holy Spirit being promised as the Comforter, pre the messages of Christ that I'm going to go away and God's going to send the Spirit. No, this is a man that was walking in the end of Christ's ministry at the beginning. I mean, isn't that something awesome to think about? Like, this guy has the Holy Spirit on him before Jesus Christ ever even introduced the Holy Spirit to the world. Man, that's the way I want to live. I don't want to live in the way that everybody else is experiencing God. I want God to be able to do the things in me and through me that he hasn't been able to do because I haven't been devoted or righteous or eager about him doing it. And so it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. And then look at the next thing, number 5. And in the next verse, you find that it says that it revealed to him that he's not going to die until he sees the Lord's Messiah. In other words, the vision of his life was given. You know what? The Bible says without a vision, people what? Perish. They run wild. They run amok. Look at this process. If I live righteously, if I'm devoted to God, I get eager about him coming. The Holy Spirit becomes the power of my life. And then God starts revealing these amazing truths. You ever got a glimpse of what God was going to do through you before you ever got to do it? You know what I mean? Like anybody in here, the world would call you a dreamer because you believe God's going to do something so big in your life. And all these skeptics that have never devoted themselves to God says it can never happen. You know, you believe that God's going to open orphanages and God's going to do these expansions of not buildings and all these other things, but people coming to the Lord and being not just saved because they've made him Lord, but they understand how to operate within his Lordship and they're discipled and raised to be warriors of God. And you believe that in Jefferson County, you're going to see 5,000 plus of those raised, taking back this community. And everybody else says, well, this county's dying. You know, the other believers say, well, you should have really looked at a better location. And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? The best location there could ever be to serve the Lord is in the location where the Lord seems the most absent because of the way and the circumstances things are going. And that is why I am in love with the ministries that go to the places that Jesus himself would go that no religious person would go. You know, I love those moments. And so when other people see an addict, I see an opportunity for God to be known. And when other people see a failed marriage, I see an opportunity for resurrection. God to put back together something that only God could do. And it gets me excited, but you know what happens? God starts revealing, hey, look at what that person could be. You know, isn't it amazing? You start walking with God long enough, you'll see what somebody could be in the name of Jesus before they could even see it. You know, you ever had that happen? You ever looked at somebody and say, they would be a great... Now, it's not your place to go play the Holy Spirit and say, this is what God's going to do in your life. But it is your place to go and nurture the Holy Spirit in their lives and say, you need to be following God, not me. There's a lot of people, teenagers, I'd like to grab and say, you are going to be a preacher. Stop trying to be anything else. But that's not my place. What my place is to give them opportunities to speak, train them in a way to follow God and understand. One of the kids just the other night, he didn't even know what he was asking. He sat there and he said 2 weeks ago, he said, how do you come up with these sermons? My like radar goes off. Why are you even thinking that way? He's like, you know, you got the, you remember, and he's not here, so Cortland, and he was sitting there, he's right over there, that very front row on Tammy's row 2 weeks ago, and he says, you know, it's just like there's power in these little things, and he's like, I sit there and I think to myself, how do I develop those? I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, you know what, like, God's working on you, boy, it's coming, you know, you got the personality, you're funny, I mean, people migrate to you. It's not just the girls, the boys too. You speak and everybody's eyes go, all right, I see it. I see it, you know, and I get excited. And you know what? Hey, I could go to him and say, if you don't pastor in your life, you've made a mistake. Well, what if God didn't want him to be a pastor? What if God wanted him to be a missionary? What if God didn't want him to be a missionary, but God wanted him just to be the husband that leads his family to the Lord? And I come in and I put a label on it, and then he's all burnt out one day because I called him and didn't let the Holy Spirit call him. Let's stop messing people up and let's trust the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit revealed that this man was going to see this, and all right, we're on number six. Look at what happens next. And then it says, verse 27, that day, the Spirit what? Led him to the temple. That day. So we know this isn't the day of worship because they don't do circumcisions on that day. This isn't the Sabbath because they're not allowed to work. They're not allowed to do this. That Mary and Joseph haven't showed up when church is going on. They have showed up on an off day when church isn't happening. They have showed up on a day where you're normally not hanging out at the temple, but here's Simeon and Anna, which is, by the way, she gets three verses in the Bible, and they're all power. And by the way, when you say that God doesn't use women, she was a woman prophet right here in the Bible, just by the way. And all of a sudden here, they are at the temple. Why? Because not only were they being revealed by the Holy Spirit, but they were also being what? Led. I wrote in my Bible, I shared this Sunday. Look at what he would have missed had he not gone where the Spirit told him to go that day. You know what else I wrote in my Bible? What have I missed? Because I wasn't led by the Spirit. Instead, I was trying to lead the Spirit. Have you ever prayed trying to lead the Spirit? God, if you would do this, then we would be able to move mountains in Jesus' name. And God's like, if you would just believe, you would move mountains. I heard it said the other day, it's not how much faith you have, it's what you have your faith in. You can have a very little faith in a big God and do incredible things. You can have very big faith in very little things and do nothing. It's not what you have in amounts of faith, it's who you have your faith in. God isn't asking you to believe in him great. He's just saying, believe in me a little and watch what I can do. And I'm thinking, if I could believe in God a little and move a mountain, what could I do if I totally believed in God? What could God do through my life if I was totally being led by him? And so guess what? He's led. You know, so here it is. I need to be righteous. I need to be devoted. I'll get eager and excited. I need to let the Holy Spirit reveal to me, and I need to be following what the Holy Spirit's saying, and I need all these things. And then guess what happens? And keep looking, and it says, not only did that happen, it says, so when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, verse 28, and I have it circled in my Bible right here, Simeon was where? I want that to be the anthem of my life. When God moved and thousands were saved, Josh was there. Not, oh, wish I'd have gone that day. No, I want to be where God wants me to be so I can see what God wants to show. You know what I love about this is he sees this baby. He took the child in his arms. All right, now here's a very big symbolism of what salvation should do for you. You say, how do I know if I truly have God's Holy Spirit living in me, if I've truly got Jesus as the Lord of my life? There is no way you can take hold of Jesus and not wind up in worship. There is no way that you can get a hold of Christ and your life doesn't radically change and immediately takes the babies in his arm. And what does he start doing? And he praises God, starts pouring it out. I have seen him. I am ready to die. And that's not a suicidal thought. It's just like, God, it doesn't get better than this. This is it. This is what I live for. This is what I hope for. My life is fulfilled. You know, I have a hard time with people coming to church saying they got Jesus when we start singing about Jesus and there's no praise to be heard. There's no joy in their life. There's no testimony to be said. I mean, how can you get a hold of Jesus and not be excited? I got a little baby, right? You got one too. Who else in here has got a little baby? You got one too. All right. Anybody else in here got little babies? Anybody planning a little baby? David? No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. All right. Anyway. Every time I look at Canaan and she smiles, what happens? Oh, yeah, I get mad. I yell at her. Stop smiling. No, I melt. I get excited. I smile back. Ever since she was born, we do things that babies do. Am I right? You're like, woo. You make him faces. They actually, if you don't believe it, it is in the books. You want to encourage communication with your child at a very young age, make silly faces and encourage eye contact. And when you come from autism, you exactly, and so I'm boo, and I'm beatboxing. You know, all these things trying to get her attention. Hey, you know, I got little baby rats. Hey, Kanan, what you been thinking? I see you checking out your big brother Lincoln, you know? All this, everybody's saying, Kanan, look over here. They're just wanting some of that sweet baby cheer. I mean, it's all day long. You know, I'm making a breath. My wife's like, you're driving me crazy. But that's what I do. I mean, I just, why? So now, when I walk in the door tonight, and if Kanan's awake, you know what? She not only smiles, but she will stick her tongue out. You know, and Jordan even says she does that for no one. The only reason she does that is because you stick yours out. And I'm like, proud to be the tongue sticker. You know what I mean? Like, represent the tongue sticking out. And now she's got to this point where she tries to beatbox. It's really cute. She puckers her lips and she goes, pfft. Here's what I'm getting at. There's no way I can get a hold of my little girl and not be happy. There's no way. There's no way I can't. When I get a hold of my little boy, I'm happy. When Lincoln crawls up in my lap on one side and Kanan's sitting on the other side and I'm sitting there and one's falling asleep and the other one's just laying his head on my... It doesn't get better than that. I mean, I just... Man, God, I'm blessed. I look at that and these are my physical children. This six-year-old knows how to throw a fit. So does this five-month-old. Everybody's like, she's so sweet. She's a demon at night. I mean, there's a morph that takes place. I mean, it is a totally different... Oh, I don't believe it. I told David, tonight I am going to record it, and tomorrow I'm going to play it on loop in your office. Let's see how you deal with it, all right? And that's why you're supposed to be awake, not when you're trying to sleep, right? But I look at this. These are kids that are imperfect and capable of breaking my heart, and yet they still excite me beyond belief. This is a little girl that one day will get interested in another man, and I'll be old news. Sorry, Josh, it's going to happen. I'll be old news. You know, one of them's already doing it to you. And then comes in tonight and sits by you. That's just dirty. All right, but I know that one day her life's going to move away from me. And yet, I still get excited. You know, there's all these things. And these are my blessed children that God has blessed me with that are imperfect. How can I be so excited about imperfection and yet when I get the perfection of Christ not have some joy? I mean, when I get this fullness of knowing that there's a God that loves me on good days and bad days, in good times and in bad, how can I not be filled with joy? And I'm sorry, you can be as righteous as you say you are, and you can say you're devoted as much as you want to. You say you believe in the Holy Spirit all you want to, but the proof comes out in the praise. The proof comes out in the excitement. The proof comes out that the fact that the baby's there for a circumcision ceremony and you're screaming out this praise in front of everybody and then praise turns to prophecy. And that's the last step. Can I get you? A lot of us are trying to get the message that brings us to praise, but I have found that the praise normally takes us to the message. It's realizing who God is that a lot of times leads us to his truth, to a desire of it, and to an ability to share it. It's hard to share Jesus when you're not praising Jesus. And so here it is. And you know what I love about it? If you keep reading it, all of a sudden his praise and prophecy turns into another prophet turning into their praise. And it just kind of just snowballs down. Wouldn't you have loved to have been at the temple that day? But I read that and I thought to myself, how many people did God tell to go that aren't in the Bible because they didn't show up? How many people were nudged by the Spirit that day to say, you need to go to the temple? It's not the Sabbath. It's not the day to go to the temple. You need to go to the temple. Simeon goes. And Simeon, when Mary and Joseph got there, Simeon was there. You want a powerful life and you want to experience the joy of what Christmas was supposed to bring. There's about six or seven things that need to be brought into our lifestyle. There are things that need to take place, and it starts with righteousness. It starts with devotion. It starts with saying, God, I'm going to pursue you, that acceptance of his lordship, and then letting the Holy Spirit reveal, the Holy Spirit lead, and then being willing to praise and worship and proclaim the glory of God. So, I don't get to preach Sunday, so I'm going to pour it out to you tonight. And the kids are going to take it, and I'm not even making suggestions to them. I'm asking them to follow the Holy Spirit. As some of them were sharing it, and it was awesome. We had a little round table kind of discussion with about 30 of the high school kids this past week, and it was amazing to see what God was doing in their life. I have no idea what they're going to share with you, you know, because I don't want to be the one lording over their lives. I want the Holy Spirit and God to lord over their lives. I told my wife and others, I said, what I don't understand is God has given me this big message on Simeon, and I was wanting to save it for a Sunday, and God's like, no, just share it tonight. And so here we are, and I, you know, it's amazing to me because in my mindset and in my plan, ooh, this would be good for everybody to hear. But no, God says, no, give it to these. And so I firmly believe that the reason why it is given to you tonight or to those that tune in and listen to a Wednesday night podcast, the reason it's given to you tonight is there's a specific thing that God's wanting to reveal in this group, in this atmosphere. And what I've learned is that this isn't a story about the entire church. This is a story about one. And sometimes we think we got to rally the church when God's simply trying just to get one that is willing to be able to say, and so was there. They did what they were supposed to do. And so in that, I challenge you this year, whatever God is doing, whatever he's revealing right now, make it an anthem of your life. And let's just truly see what all God can show you when you're truly righteous, devoted, eager, when you are being led by the Spirit, and when you are actually following the Spirit. Things are being revealed that you are believing and proclaiming in Jesus' name and being willing to praise and proclaim no matter what anybody else is doing. Here is the Messiah. That message in the church that Simeon gave was not a popular one. Matter of fact, it's the first time the message is given after Jesus' birth in church. And it is that message that 33 years later would be the reason Jesus was nailed to the cross. Are you with me? The man in the beginning was willing to share what Jesus would die for 33 years later. I mean, I want that kind of faith to where I'm going to be bold in love, in an excitement, and in joy, regardless of whether or not it's popular, whether or not people want it or accept it. God's been good to me, and I'm not going to let your grouchy get in the way. God's been good to me, and I'm not going to let corrupted mindsets get in the way. We're going to proclaim, and we're going to be who God's called us to be. Amen? Stand up, grab somebody's hand. Let's close in a word of prayer. One week, you got 1 week while everybody's mindsets are actually focused on a day that is about Jesus. They may not have a Jesus focus, but their mindsets are being focused towards a giving, a happiness, and a joy. You have the reason for that happiness and joy, and so do I. 7 days with an audience that will listen that normally wouldn't listen. What are you willing to proclaim in the next 7 days? What are you willing to tweet about in Instagram or make known in the next 7 days? Because there are eyes and ears that you may not have 8 days from now. And so in this, let's pour out. In this, let's be faithful. And greater than anything, let's celebrate the goodness of our God. All right, amen? All right, let's pray together. God, thank you for this day, and thank you for loving us the way that you do, and thank you for the grace and mercy that you've given us. God, I pray that we will do justice to your name, that we will do justice to the gift that you've given, that we would become bold in our presentation, in our willingness to love and to do and to go beyond what is normal, to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to know this incredible, overwhelming, all-consuming love that you have provided for us. Thank you for being such a wonderful God, and thank you for sending such a wonderful Savior and Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.